looking at Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in and unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bereth. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Well, we'll be looking at that scripture in just a few moments. We'll be looking at this passage. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, as we open your word this morning, we pray that you will speak to us in a very definite way as we see this story from the Old Testament and how it applies to us today, the New Testament commentary on it. We pray that we might truly receive a blessing from your word. And we do pray, our Father, for each and every one of us who are here today, that we might put our faith and trust in you completely. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that he shed his precious blood for us that we might have salvation, that we might be set free from all of our sins and made clean in him. We know that in and of ourselves we do not have anything to boast of. All of our weakness, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in your sight, and we cannot do anything to gain your favor except to believe, to put our faith and trust in you. And we pray that you'd help us to walk in righteousness and truth before you. May we do those good works that you have ordained for us to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for each and every one who is here today and ask you to speak to each and every heart that we might be drawn closer to you. Again, I pray for those who are ill, that you might touch and heal each one of them, Lord. You know their needs. I pray for those who have need to come back to church. We pray for them that you will work in their hearts and lives and bring them back again, that we might all rejoice together in serving you. Help us, our Father, that we might be able to accomplish your will. I just pray that your holy will would be accomplished in everything that we do, that we'll honor and magnify your holy name. And we'll thank you for it and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was thinking this morning, looking at this passage of Scripture. By the way, we're looking at the book of Genesis. We've been in Genesis now for some time. We started right at the beginning and have gotten up now to the life of Abraham. And we've been seeing him. Last week, we saw one of the high points in the life of Abraham when God declared him righteous back in chapter 15, verse 6. It says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." So here, and then God made this covenant with Abram. He made the promises for the land and for his seed, for the people that would come after him. This time, you remember, Abraham is an older man. He and his wife, and they don't have any children, and yet God has promised them that they would have a son, and then that they would have many, many descendants. And by now they are wondering, how is this going to come about? I think Abraham is something like 85 years old, and his wife just a little younger than that. And ordinarily, when you get to that age, you don't usually have children, right? It's, as they would say, it takes a miracle. And that's what it took. But at any rate, here in chapter 16, we see a very different view of Abraham and his wife, Sarah. When he had a lapse of faith, I would say, not looking to God's promise and God's way as to what he was going to do, but rather taking it into his own hands and trying to work out his situation according to his own fleshly thinking. We see the problem here. As I was saying, it says in verse 1, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children." He had no children, and how could he possibly be the ancestor of such a group of people if he didn't have any children at all? So they're beginning to, Sarai especially, is beginning to scheme in her mind and thinking, well, how could we possibly do this? You know, we need to help God out. You ever try to help God out? Yeah, I think we all probably do sometime or the other. But this is the problem. There's barrenness. There's nothing there. And they were getting older. There was nothing they could do to make the situation any better. God had promised them this son. He said that when he called them to go out of Ur of the Chaldees and to come over into Canaan land, she would have a son. Now, they had been there for 10 years. I wonder, how long would you be willing to wait? God gives a promise. He'd say, well, is it going to be today or tomorrow? Right? He's going to fulfill this, right? Abraham had to wait for 25 years. Right? And it's like, you know, we talk about the Lord coming back. He said he's coming back, isn't he? You believe he's coming back?
Amen.
How long has it been? 2,000 years. Is he really coming?
Yeah.
You believe he's coming? Of course he is. Yes. And we just have to wait and be patient and let God be God. You know, we can't do anything about that except believe, put our faith and trust and confidence in Him and in His Word. We have nothing else to look to. And that's the way it was with these folks. They had been walking by faith. Abraham is the father of those who have faith, right? He's the one who started, pretty well started it all, in this particular area anyway. And they had been waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally Sarai came up with a plan. She suggested to Abram, she says, you know, I can't have a child. I can't have a child. I'm too old. It would never work. Why don't you take this maiden, this young lady here, and have a child with her? Now you might think, well, that sounds strange, doesn't it? For the wife to do that, and yet this was the common practice back in that day. They had come from Ur of the Chaldees, which was a pagan civilization, and one of the practices was for the man, if the woman couldn't have children, to take a second wife, and she would have the children then, right? And they would be counted for the first wife. That was the idea, to carry on the name and to keep everything moving in the family. So this was a common practice. And so she offered this up to Abram. And it was an Egyptian maid. You remember what had happened before? God called Abraham to go to Canaan, right? And what happened? They had a famine, right? So what did Abraham do? He went down to Egypt. God didn't tell him to go down to Egypt, but he went anyway, right? God called him to go to Canaan. And so he went down to Egypt, and while he was down there, they got this Egyptian maid, right? Got a servant. And now they have her along with others. And Sarai says, well, why don't you have her as a second wife? It's perfectly legitimate. It's legal. You know, we can do this. And see if we can't get this worked out. And we find here that they didn't ask God about it. I don't find anywhere in here where Abraham went out and offered up a sacrifice and said, Lord, is this what you want me to do? No. Nothing of that nature, right? Abraham did have he had an altar. And from time to time he offered up sacrifices, right? He thanked God for what he did and asked God's advice. But this time he didn't. He said, oh, that sounds pretty good. Right? And so they thought that this is what they would do. So it says in verse 4, he went in unto Hagar and she conceived. So they got their wish, didn't they? Sarai said, go have a child and everything will work out just fine. But we see that that's the beginning of the problem. Right after this, we find resentment and remorse. We see here that when Hagar realized she was pregnant, she looked at Sarah and said, ha-ha, you can't have a kid, but I can. You know. And here, instead of being the servant, she makes herself superior to Sarai. And so we see here the resentment coming into her heart. And then, of course, Sarai was not pleased with that at all. That this woman would rebel against her. And no doubt, and I never read anywhere where Ishmael was considered the son of Sarai. It's always Hagar. She's the son of Abraham, yes. But it never says that about Sarai. So it didn't work out for her, you see. And it says that her mistress was despised in her eyes, So what did Sarai do? She said to Abram, "My wrong be upon thee, be unto thee." So she realized something was wrong, right? She said, "This is a big mistake. We've blown it, so to speak. And but it's your fault." See? Who came up with the idea? But it's Abraham's fault, right? Is that the way it usually is? What do you think? Come on now. You know how it is, huh? Yeah, it works both ways, though, doesn't it? You know, when the men do something, it's the woman's fault too. So we'll have an equal. Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, we find here that this resentment and remorse, and it just didn't work out because they were impatient. And full of doubt, they didn't believe God. That's the biggest thing about this, you see. When we doubt what God says and we don't act upon His word, that's when we get into real trouble, right? And that's what happened here. It sounded like a good plan, but it didn't work out because it wasn't God's will, you see. And that's where we get into trouble so often. It's a big mistake. And so there's all kinds of problems in the family. So Abram says, "Okay, Sarah, whoa. You go ahead and you take care of it." And she treated her hardly. And Hagar ran away. You know. Now, I don't know, it says she's a maiden. And probably teenager, I don't know. But you know, and now her mistress mistreats her, abuses her because of this situation, and she runs away. So this illustrates what happens when we walk in the flesh instead of obeying God, walking in the Spirit, so to speak. Over in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the works of the flesh. And some of the ones that are listed there are envy, malice, hatred, pride, and contention. These are the works of the flesh. And that's what's happening here. You can see in this family situation. They are in a big mess. And what happens then? Hagar runs away. She's out there in the wilderness, not knowing what to do, no doubt crying and weeping. She sits down beside this well, fountain of water. And this angel, it says, the angel of the Lord found her. The angel of the Lord. Who's the angel of the Lord? Well, it says over in verse 13, "And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me." So the one that's spoken of as the angel of the Lord is also spoken of as the Lord God, right? And we find other times in the Old Testament that there is the angel of the Lord that appears that is also identified as God. And I would think that this is the pre-incarnate Christ. Before he came as Jesus, he came as the angel of the Lord, right? The messenger of the Lord. The word angel means the messenger, right? And he comes as the messenger of the Lord to speak with Hagar, to restore her, to get her back where she needs to be. The angel of the Lord found Hagar. Think of that. You know, the Lord finds us, doesn't he? Huh? It's wonderful when we go astray. It's like the story of the good shepherd. Right? Remember? When he has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, what does he do? He goes out until he finds it. Right? And then he puts them on his shoulder and brings it back. And everybody rejoices, right? And that's what happened here with Hagar. She was like a lost sheep out there in the middle of the wilderness, not knowing what to do, pregnant, all alone. And the Lord comes. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord doesn't leave us alone when we are in these predicaments? And he comes and he tells her what to do. He gives her the right instructions. He tells her to return home, to submit herself to her mistress, and to, I would say, he's implying here at least that she shouldn't have an arrogant spirit about her, and humble herself, and allow God to work in her life. Anyway, we find here the angel of the Lord says, return to thy mistress, submit thyself to her hands. And the angel said to her, I will multiply thy seed. Notice he says, I will do this. So this is God speaking. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And we find here he's giving her some promises. The verse 11, the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And the name Ishmael means God shall hear. God shall hear. He heard her affliction. He saw her tears. He knew that she was despondent, and restored her to the place where she needed to be. And he's going to give her this son, Ishmael. Now, you say, well, it's not working out too bad. Well, if you stop and think about it, who is Ishmael? He's the father of the Bedouins, the Arab nations, and all down through history we find this bitter hatred and conflict between the Ishmaelites and the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham. All of the problems that they've had, it's family problems. Really? They're half-brothers, right? And yet, all of these things came about because people were impatient and did not allow God to do His work. If they had waited, then all of this conflict could have been avoided, right? And yet, in the providence of God, he knows all about it. But he describes here Ishmael. What's he going to be like, you know? He'll be like a wild man. I think of that. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. So he's going to have a great influence. And of course he has. Ishmael and his descendants are a great nation. Today, there are billions of people, I think, that follow that that religion and that that way of thinking. The descendants have continued on down, but now they're the enemies, both of many times at least, of the Christians and the Jewish people, because of the difference in the way of thinking, and that could have been avoided if Abraham and Sarah had waited and not given Hagar to Abraham. Of course, you can't change history, can you? So it has to work out the best that you possibly can. And so she called the name of the Lord that spoke to her, Thou God seest me. Yes, this is the name that she gave him, of course, in the in her own language. But to think about that, the one who sees me. And that's a good name for God, I think, because he sees us, doesn't he? Yeah. He doesn't miss anything. He sees us. No matter what we're doing or where we are or what, you know, he sees it all. And she said, I have been here and I've seen the one who looks after me, the one who sees me. So she named the place Beer Laharoi, which is talks about the God who sees me. So Hagar returned home then, and she bore Abram a son. But this was not the promised one. God had said, made it very clear that Isaac would be the son that he would give to Abraham and Sarah. And so we know that they had to wait another 13 years before Isaac was born. And they did. And it all worked out. But then looking in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, I wanted to read this. The Apostle Paul here gives an allegory using this story we just read, right? And explains it that Sarai stands for one thing and Hagar stands for something else. And we'll see what it is as we read this passage, beginning at verse 21. Chapter 4, verse 21 of Galatians. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which is the law of Moses, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So here Paul is using, the story to illustrate the difference between living under the law, following after, you know, a system of works, and living under promise, following a system of faith, right? And he says that we are the children of promise, like Isaac was the one that God promised to Abraham and Sarah. And Ishmael then was the son that's under of the bondwoman, who was a slave. I mean, she and was in bondage. And then it compares them here with Jerusalem over there in Israel that was in bondage under the Romans, and the Jerusalem which is above, with the new Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, it says. So that we're free. At any rate, he's telling us that we should live as free people rather than under bondage, thinking that, you know, if we're not good people, God's going to send us to hell, you know, that kind of thing. Some people think that. But we are saved by the grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life in Him, and we are free. Not free to sin. We don't, you know, we don't, I don't mean that we go out and do wrong, but we have God guiding us and leading us, and we are to follow His leadership. But it's not our works that saves us, and nothing we can do that will help us, like they were trying to work out their own salvation in this sense by having a child in a different way. And God was not pleased with that. And here, it goes a little bit further than where we read, because eventually Abraham had to send away Hagar and Ishmael, because they couldn't stay together. There was friction in the home. And at any rate, he's telling us the whole essence of this is that we should stand fast in the liberty that we have in Christ. Okay, we are free. Free from the law. Oh, happy transgression. Transgression? That's not right. Oh, happy condition. I'm sorry. That's what I get for depending upon my memory. It's not so good anymore. Free from the law, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. We are free and we are His people, and we depend upon Him. We can't do anything to save ourselves or to help God save us. We only have to yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to do the work. So that's the idea here that Paul is teaching us in this allegory, that we are to be free in Christ and not be in bondage to the sins of the world. Jesus said, "He that lives in sin is a servant of sin," and we need to live our lives and united to Christ and walk in the way that He would lead us. Father, we thank You for Your precious word to our hearts this morning, and we pray that it might be helpful to each one of us, that we would draw closer to You and love You more and serve You better and honor You in the way that we should. We thank You, Lord, for the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, and pray that You would guide us and help us, that we might be faithful and serve You. Lord, may Your will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.